Well, Pastor Melinda, thank you for your children's message that was a perfect interlude to this sermon, because what I want to actually start with is talking a little bit about what we did at Bible school a couple weeks ago. Because as Pastor Melinda said, one of the stories that we taught the kids at Bible school was the feeding of the 5,000. And each night we would teach them a different Bible story by acting it out in a skit. Some of you were involved, and they were silly little skits, but it was a way for the kids to get involved with it. And when we did the story of the 5,000, the kids themselves actually had a role to play in the skit as well. They played the part of the multitude, so they were actually the 5,000, and they had cute little lines like, oh, we're hungry, you know, yummy, yummy, and these sorts of things, and really just the intent being to draw them into the story. And that night when I went home, as I was reflecting on that skit, I began to realize that the kids' portrayal of the 5,000 was probably the most realistic I had ever seen. You see, I was playing the part of Jesus so I could stand up and look at the kids and see what they were doing. And some of them were really involved, and others were a little more standoffish and kind of mumbled their lines, hoping no one would hear them. And some were paying really close attention, were right there with us, and others were, you know, kind of in their own little world, not paying a lick of attention. And some were really hanging on Jesus's every word, and others were more preoccupied with their own little side conversations with their buddies. And now, keep in mind, these are classes of about 15 or so people, so I began to imagine what this would be like with over 5,000. So today, I want you to, just for a second, pretend that you are sitting in the midst of those 5,000 people. And don't worry, I'm not going to give you any silly lines to say or anything like that. But just imagine what it may have been like on that actual day. Those of you who got there first are probably pretty close to Jesus. You can hear him really well. At some point, you may even be able to make eye contact with him. But, you know, those of you who came a little later, you're more towards the outskirts of this giant group of people. You heard you were supposed to come because this Jesus guy is supposed to be a good teacher, but you can only hear a little bit of what he's saying because he's so far away. You're catching a little bit. Your kids are pulling at you. They want to go home. It's hot. It's really hot, as it always is. You're getting hungry. You're tired. And you hear people talking about maybe a possibility of food coming around, but you're thinking it might be time to go home, and you don't really know what's going on. You're just kind of confused. That sounds a lot to me like these kids that I saw in Bible school. Some of them were paying really close attention, and others were just kind of wondering what was going on and in their own little world. Now, what I wonder is, that day when Jesus fed the 5,000 people, how many people even realized that a miracle was taking place? Sure, there were probably some people there who were paying very close attention and realized that something very strange was going on. But the rest, who knows, maybe they're just sitting down in their little groups, hearing that there's food coming by and waiting for their turn. After all this conversation with Jesus and his disciples about, you know, how are we going to feed these people, this isn't being broadcast. It's not being shouted into a microphone. From everything we can tell, this is just a private conversation Jesus and his disciples are having about what to do with this group of people. It's very likely that the people are probably having their own little conversations, trying to figure out amongst themselves what they're going to do about getting food and stuff, not paying attention to what Jesus and his little disciples are saying up there. So I wonder, did they even know? When they went home that day, did they have any inkling that something abnormal had happened? Now, what about us? What if I had been there on that day? Would I have known that something strange was happening, or would I have just eaten my fill and gone home? After all, they didn't have to know that a miracle was happening to benefit from the food. Both the people who realized there was a miracle and the people who had no idea ate the food. Everyone ate. So, would I have realized or would I have missed it? And what about today? What might I be missing today? What might I have missed yesterday? What will I miss tomorrow? How many miracles are there that are going on all around me that I'm just paying no attention to? What have I missed? Now, if I had perfect understanding and complete awareness, I have to believe that I would constantly be on my knees praising and thanking God for all the miracles that are going on around me. But as it stands, I don't have perfect understanding. And I'm typically oblivious to the things that God is doing around me. Now, every once in a while, every now and then, the Holy Spirit opens my eyes to the true reality of things going on around me and the fact that God is constantly at work. And the Spirit can do this in a number of different ways, but I think one way in which the Spirit does this is by teaching us how to pray. By teaching us how to pray. And by uniting us to the heart of Christ in such a way that we begin to pray and desire the very things that Christ desires. You see, I have to check myself when I'm praying because so many times I don't know if I'm actually praying, "Your kingdom come, your will be done," or if I'm praying, "My kingdom come, my will be done." And there's a funny thing that happens when we start praying the will of God, and that thing is, we see things. We see things differently. We see things happening. We see things the way they really are. And of course, it's one thing to talk about praying the will of God as this big theological concept, but then when we actually say our prayers throughout the day, knowing that you're supposed to pray the will of God can only get you so far, right? So where do we start? Well, I think one great place to start is the prayer that we say here, the prayer that our Lord taught us, the prayer that says in it, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done." This is a prayer that is meant to train us. To train us not just what to say, but to train us in what to desire, in what to love, in what to hope for. And when we hope for those things that are within God's will, we begin to see the miracles going on around us. So my question that I'll leave you with today is, are you paying attention? Or are you just waiting for the food to come along to you so you can go your way? Do you see God at work around you? Do you pray for the will of God to be fulfilled, or are you too preoccupied in your own little world? These are challenging questions, and I promise you they are probably more challenging for me than they are for even any of you. But thankfully, we have the Holy Spirit as our guide to come to our aid and to teach us how to pray. So now I know we've already said it once, but to close this sermon, let us pray together the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Amen.